Yeah.
All right. Preferred talk-ons. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
Good. Good, Keith.
God, I guess you need to stop leaning into the mic and doing that.
Why? The sound quality is impeccable today.
It looks weird.
Well, good thing no one can see us. Good thing people are listening to this.
Yeah, but I have to see you. I do have to mention right off the bat real quick. We heard Baby Shark approximately 2.5 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have not stopped playing it in my head.
I have songs like that.
Now it's stuck in my head again, so thanks a lot, Keith. I just got it out.
Baby Shark. Anyway.
And that was Keith doing Frank Sinatra doing Baby Shark.
We have another guest with us today. Mountaineer Ross, how are you now?
Howdy, Keith. I'm just happy to be back on the TV show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Is he considered a guest at this point?
Yes.
Josh was quick on that one.
Also known as the fourth host.
Back by popular demand, according to Ross.
In our listener analytics.
I just want to thank everybody who watched the show. I was on thin ice there, and you guys really pulled me through. Thanks for keeping me on the pod. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Any news and notes that you guys wish to go over today?
Yeah, I have one. In our last week's show, I was discussing Texas A&M schedule.
Mm.
When we were talking top 10 quarterbacks, I said Kellen Mond has a, even for Texas A&M, has a doable schedule. That is not the case at all. Texas A&M has one of the toughest schedules in the country. I'd like to read it out aloud now. Texas State at Clemson, Lamar, Auburn, Arkansas neutral site, bye week, Alabama at Ole Miss, Mississippi State, UTSA, bye week, South Carolina at Georgia at LSU. So that is not an easy schedule or remotely favorable whatsoever.
That those last 3 weeks, tough.
Doozy.
Tough.
A&M is going to, I mean, they probably are one of the best 15 teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And
Michael hit four.
Michael 7-5. But anyway, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
It's a little sneak preview of the exercise that we have planned for today.
I have something. Trevor Lawrence, cut your fucking hair.
Jesus Christ. I do like, Bill, your Johnny Cashing you got going on today. The refusal to take off the sunglasses is a classy move.
Not refusal. I just found a sweet pair of sunglasses, and I think I look good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to lock this fucking place down.
Well, we're being bullied into our recording studio, so
give us a second here.
This is uncomfortable. Hoosier Jimmy stepping in.
My hot take on Hoosier football, I bid you adieu. There's nothing to talk about.
That was guest appearance from Hoosier Jimmy.
Yeah, sweet baby Rays. Also, some news that came out today.
That's right.
The NCAA is tightening up some guidelines for eligibility waivers. You guys have any thoughts on those?
Stupid. I mean, just the kids transfer. Yeah,
so seriously. Okay, so both of you are against this. Can you give me a reason why?
Kids transfer.
I just want the players to be able to transfer freely as they wish.
I transferred like 4 times. Like it should.
Yeah,
like,
well, you weren't exactly a hot recruit there.
Oh, I was a D1 athlete. We talked about this. But I do think they should be easier for players. If they don't like a school, they shouldn't. If they want to play, if they want a chance to do something.
Right, but so you don't think the emergence of the transfer portal isn't allowing for more of a margin of error for, let's say, bag men or dirty recruiting tactics? I mean, once traditionally, once a committed, he was pretty much untouchable, and he stayed there all 4 years. Now, I understand, you know, family circumstances or, you know, things change in your life, like shit happens, but I just feel like they're tightening up loopholes that probably shouldn't exist because one guy is being a prima donna and doesn't want to sit out a year, even though it's different better in the long run.
Keith, what you just described was indentured servitude. Just because they commit to a place does not mean they have to go there forever. My question is, what does it benefit the NCAA for tightening these rules if the crookedness already happens?
Well, you know, again, the benefits are less chances of this happening. I mean, I know I realize I'm outnumbered here. I'm the only one, but I think it's just tightening up the NCAA as a whole. I get it. You guys need to say, you know, evil organization, things happen, but it's a pretty much a losing battle, but they have to try.
I think if a player commits to a certain school and his position coach or head coach leaves for another job, then they should be allowed to transfer without having to sit out a year.
Oh, well, yeah, I get that. But I think some – I think there was – there is becoming more of a difference between who gets it and who doesn't get eligibility waivers, and I think that's a problem within the NCAA itself. So they may just be trying to tighten up their own people. This may not necessarily reflect people as a whole, you know, because star players – oh, wow, he got a waiver? Like, why did he get a waiver when this kid didn't? You know, it's just a lot of things weren't making sense, and I think that they're just trying to tighten up those kind of restrictions.
In that regard, it makes sense, but I'm still pro-player.
I'm not against player.
Yeah, that sure sounds like it.
I'm not.
Big government Keith coming at you live.
Oh, my God.
Keith just wants to make sure all the boosters watch this show. We are looking for advertising money, so just keep that in mind. We are a bag man first podcast here.
we are for sale, but we are not going to be bag men.
Well,
speak for yourself.
All right. Maybe. I guess I am truly alone on this podcast.
Let's move on.
All right. Billy, you want to tell us a little bit about the meat of this episode today?
Yeah. So continuing our weekly exercise type thing, this week we're going a little bit into the gambling world. And
woo!
I have picked at random teams from each conference for everyone to do over-under win totals. So the way it works, everyone from the Power 5 conferences will go over-under three random teams, from the Group of 5, two random teams, and two independents. So,
Is this without looking at schedules, or is it just...
Nope, you have the schedule to look at. Okay. Keith also requested that I give you how many years the coach has been there or any other extenuating circumstances. So,
right, because this is also partially a hot seat type of discussion.
In a sense, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that, and, you know, obviously that could affect the over-under win totals. So everything's completely randomized. I didn't give them any heads up as to which teams they were going to have to research. I just said, know your coaches, know
what
your
we're
schemes,
gonna do.
Know your context.
Let's do it. 100% going to be honest with you guys. This is a lot of shooting from the hip for me. Thank you.
Schedule.
So, where are we starting, Bill?
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the ACC.
ACC.
First one off
the top.
ACC. Who do you want to start with? Josh Keith or Mountaineer Ross?
Mountaineer Ross.
I just want everyone to know I did not prepare.
That's half the fun. And then we haven't decided what the penalty for the loser is and what the reward is for the winner. But
maybe do we keep a tradition?
Well, we don't have to decide right now. Maybe we can do something a little bit more fun.
Okay.
This is also June, and everything could go completely haywire come September.
This could also go ass up. So
are we in the 50s until season starts? Or are we still in?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
I'll look out real quick.
Yeah.
You guys can get started with Mountaineer Ross.
All right, Mountaineer Ross.
Hello.
Your first ACC team, the Syracuse Orange. Dino Babers is in his fourth season.
59 days.
59 days to college football season. This just in.
Well, first of all, I just want to say fuck the Orange for beating the hell out of Dub V in that bowl game. Dina could suck a big old sack. Looking at their schedule, they got a tough start with Liberty. And they got about week 5 with Holy Cross. So I'm going to say.
Did I even give you an over?
No, you didn't.
9.5 wins.
Oh, good God.
Oh, another note. I also completely handicapped these myself. I didn't go through a website. So if they're off, if they're off, so be it.
Nine. Shit.
I'm going to say under, but it will be about 9 wins.
All right, Keith, your first ACC team is Virginia, 9.5 wins.
Ooh.
Bronco Mendenhall. Mendenhall is in his fourth season.
Okay. I would not say that his seat is hot at all. Especially
the exact opposite.
Yeah, I think that he's doing a damn good job bringing that program back. I personally really like Virginia. You said 9.5. Oh, Pitt, William Mary, Alderman.
And these also include all postseason wins too. So if they go to the title game and or bowl game.
I honestly, looking at the schedule, I'm going to go over.
All right. Josh, your first ACC team, Georgia Tech.
Oh.
First year coach, Jeff Collins. Over under 3.5 wins.
They're also no longer sponsored by Russell, which is huge.
Correct.
Well, they got the Citadel at home. Oh, 3.5.
Big thing for them is transitioning away from the triple option offense.
They start with Clemson on the road.
So automatically starting 1-0 in the conference.
Yeah.
At Temple, at Duke, at I'm going to take the under here. At Virginia, I'm going to go under three. You said 3.5 or three?
3.5.
Three.
All of them are half.
Okay, yeah, I'll take the under.
All right.
On Georgia Tech.
We'll go snake draft style. Keep it at Josh.
All right.
Boston College, 6.5 wins.
Ooh, Boston College, 6.5. They open up with Vatek.
If it helps your decision at all, Steve Adazio has been there for 6 years, has finished 7-6, all but one.
They got a little stretch right at the beginning of the year, Richmond, Kansas, and at Rutgers. Then they play at home in Wake Forest. That could be four wins right there. They could be 4-1. 6.5. Because then they basically do their schedule at Clemson, at Syracuse, Florida State, then at Notre Dame after a bye and at Pitt. I'm going to go under. I'm going under 6-6 there.
Okay.
That's a tough one. All right, their last stretch of the season, it's tough.
Staying in the Commonwealth, Virginia Tech over under 8.5 wins.
You give me both Virginia?
I didn't give you. The Google names out of a hat search engine did.
Okay. You said 8.5?
Yes.
How long has the coach been there?
This is his fourth season.
Fourth season? Okay. So that's not very warm. Again, both Virginia programs are recovering. I think they're both doing a great job. Oh, 8.5. So Boston College, Old Dominion, Furman, Duke, and then Miami. It's going to be a road bump. Rhode Island, UNC, Notre Dame, Wake Forest. So how many losses is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4. I might have to go under.
All right, Ross, Louisville, first year head coach, over under 2.5 wins.
Who's their head coach?
Scott Satterfield.
Where's he from?
Appalachian State.
Oh, fuck. First of all, I think Lamar Jackson's a hell of a player. I don't know.
I agree.
I think he's going to have Heisman numbers this year. I'm looking at this. They got some battles here with Eastern and Western Kentucky back-to-back weeks. You got to watch out. That state it'll stab you in the back. Then they end the season with Kentucky. I mean,
Three Kentucky schools.
I mean, that's a lot of Kentucky in one season.
Kentucky.
And we all know that state's full of losers, and that's three wins. So I'm going to take the over on that bad boy.
Okay. Pitt, over under 5.5 wins.
Yeah,
snake draft. That's up to you again.
Sorry.
Pat Narduzzi in his fifth season.
I don't play with snakes. first of all, let me start this off by saying, eat shit, Pitt. We'll see you in 2023, cocksuckers.
Jesus Christ.
They got some tough battles here, Billy. They're playing VA. Then they're playing – they got Penn State this year. That's a loss. Then they got UNC in November. You never want to play UNC in November. Everybody knows that. And I tell you what, I'm circling this one date, September 28th, against the Delaware Blue Devils. What's their name?
I don't even know.
Yeah. Delaware Joe Flacco's. And that's – I tell you what, that's another loss. What was it, 5.5 you said?
Yes.
Whew. Tell you what, Billy, I'm going to actually go take the under on this. I actually don't see Pitt winning one game this year.
It's the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens, obviously.
I knew it was blue something.
They have the – isn't Delaware the school that –
has Michigan helmets?
Yeah, Michigan style.
Or maybe Michigan copied their helmet. No, they didn't.
Actually, I had a teacher at college who was – Delaware boy.
Delaware.
It was so nice of you guys to go about 9 minutes without mentioning Michigan. I really appreciate you guys holding back there. Good job.
All right, Keith, to you. Clemson Tigers, 13.5 wins.
Oh, that's,
this one's tough. Clemson went 15-0 last year, so if you take the under, it's basically...
That's essentially me saying they're not going to the national championship.
Right. Or also like the do you want to count on the weather and say under because one's going to get rained out?
That's a new wrinkle in the past couple of years. That,
especially with where they're located.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go over. I see a repeat here.
They're not going to lose.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose.
I agree.
Not with that schedule. All
right, Josh. Final ACC teams.
What do I got?
Duke Blue Devils.
Ooh.
Over under 6.5.
Over under 6.5. They're going to start up 3-0. Just kidding. They're playing Alabama week one. So that's not going to happen.
That was confident. Yeah.
Over under 6.5. I'm going to take the under there.
All right.
They might get 4 to 5 wins. So, yeah, under 6, I got to go again. Snake draft.
We're moving conferences into the Big Ten now.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was your second ACC school.
So everyone's done all 3 ACC schools. Now we're on to the Big Ten.
Damn.
I think these are going to be pretty tough because the way it fell, we got teams that just have a lot of question marks by them. Josh is sneaking a little bit of paper. Nope. Illinois, 3.5 wins. God.
Under. Nope. didn't even look at the schedule.
How hot is his seat, though?
Lovie?
Lovie, he's probably going to get a contract extension after this year.
It's probably very hot, if you ask me.
I would say it's fucking boiling at this point. I don't see him surviving if they get anything under 5 wins.
All right, Keith. Penn State.
Ooh.
Over under 9.5 wins. James Franklin's 7th season in Happy Valley.
Big Vanderbilt baseball fan, James Franklin.
Big Vandy baseball fan.
Okay. So Idaho, Buffalo, Pitt. And they're at Maryland, home against Purdue, then Iowa, at Iowa, home against Michigan, at Michigan State, at Minnesota, then home for Indiana, at Ohio State, and home against Butkers. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. What was the
9.5?
9.5 under. Under, I don't see them competing again with the. I mean, I'm predicting a loss against Michigan State. I know there's a question mark there, but that's going to be just a super boring 9-6 game. But they will eventually lose that. And again, I think the weather's going to come back and win for Michigan State.
No comment on that. All right, Ross. Wisconsin, 9.5.
9.5 for Wisconsin. Now, as we all know, Jonathan Taylor is essentially a bowling ball full of rushing yards. Let me take a look here. Wisconsin. here we go. In ABC order, that makes sense. They got a tough week 2 battle against CMU. You got to watch out for that. They got a tough week 6 battle against Kent State.
Fire up chips.
And I tell you what, you got to watch out for that bye week, November 2nd. Are they going to come back even stronger? I don't know. I see them beating USF to begin the year. I see them beating Michigan State, that is. And I see them beating Nebraska. What was it, 9.5?
Yes.
Damn, that's real close. I'm gonna say they're going to get 9 wins, so I will say the under.
All right, another team you just mentioned. Over under 9.5 for Nebraska.
Year two
of Scott Frost. Scott Frost. One of the most attractive.
9.5 wins.
9.5 wins.
How many wins did they have last year?
5.
But they were the best 5-8 team in the country.
Yeah,
they were.
Or 4-8, whatever they did.
Yeah.
They almost beat Ohio State. They played
so
they
did
played
Maryland.
Better. They played better.
Damn it, Ross.
Are they the best team? All right, well. I don't know. Northern Illinois is usually good at football. They play them week 3. South Alabama, watch out for them. 9 wins. I'm going to take the under. I see an improvement. I'm a big Scott Frost guy. I really am. I see more of a 7-8 wins. That's a huge jump.
All right. Keith, over to you. Maryland, 5.5 wins. First year head coach Mike Locksley.
Every year is a first year
head coach.
Fighting Terps. Win.
Do you like Maryland's uniforms?
Loss.
Depends on which one. I feel like they never have the same one twice.
Win.
Yeah, they got that Under Armour money.
And what'd you say? 5.5?
Yeah. I like their alternate reds. Those are cool.
I don't mind the red ones.
God, I think they're going to be – they're going to have some really weird wins. This year,
don't play Texas this year.
I know, but they—that's
not a win.
Usually,
you can count with that as a win every
time. That's right.
They're a weird team, but I think they're going to sit at just 5. So I'm going to go under.
A lot of unders here.
There are staying in the Upper Northeast. Rutgers.
Oh,
you got
Illinois and Rutgers.
2.5.
All right. Well, they play UMass, so that might be a win in Liberty. That's a win at Illinois. That at Illinois could
give them the third.
The third. That's going to be – are we going to that?
Yeah, we talked about this every episode.
We talked about going to that.
Illinois game. Ooh, that could be a big one. I'm going to go under. It's Rutgers.
Yep.
I haven't picked an over yet.
That's how I feel, too. Michigan State, 8.5 wins.
Oh, Michigan State, 8.5 wins. Great defense. How will their offense be this year?
The same.
You know what?
The exact same.
I'm going to go.
Just going to be the same.
I'm going over.
Okay. Are you taking the over just because you haven't taken an over yet?
There's a couple of different reasons. One, I'm going to take the over because I feel like the past couple of years they've had kind of a down year, and then they've had a better year, and then a down year, and then a better year. Yes, last year was kind of a down year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking this year will be a better year. They got a quarterback coming back in Rocky Lombardi or Brian Lewerke, whoever you decide to start there. Good defense.
Wow.
It's one of the best in the country.
Yeah, one of those big quarterbacks coming back.
Arizona State at home, Western Michigan, Tulsa, all at home. I'm going to go the over.
All right.
Keith, Purdue, over under 6.5. Ooh. Third season for Brian Brown.
Well, he's safe, I would say.
I almost lost him last year to Louisville.
I know. What was the line?
6.5.
6.5.
I struggled with making this line. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Purdue's weird.
You give me all the weird teams. I kind of like it. Nevada, Vandy, TCU. Like, they're gonna fuck around and win against some like pretty good teams, and then lose to like Illinois, just to be more Purdue than they can.
Yeah.
Tough slate though. Nebraska, then at Northwestern, at Wisconsin, then home against Indiana. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Four losses.
Keith is making quick decisions here.
Thanks. I'm going to go over.
Over.
All right, Ross. Minnesota. 6.5 wins.
Who's their head coach?
EJ Fleck.
That boy loves running to the field and talking shit on old coaches, which I love. Let's see here. Minnesota. What was the over-under again on that, Billy?
6.5.
6.5. That's a good over-under there. Thanks. First 3 weeks are wins, so that's good. South Dakota State, that's going to be a barn burner. Fresno State and Georgia Southern. I bet you they'll really pack the house for those ones. Then they play the Rutgers. Then they lose the rest of them. That's tough. I'm actually going to say over on this one. I think they're going to surprise two teams that I'm not going to name, but I predicted it first. And also, the first 3 weeks are a cakewalk. So,
well, I wouldn't call Fresno State a cakewalk exactly. But yeah. Anyway, we'll carry on. So this,
once again, no research done.
This is taking a little longer than I'd anticipated. So let's do two G5 conferences and then take a break. And then do you want to do our running back lists or keep going with this?
This is kind of fun.
All right.
I would like to do, just maybe make it go a little quicker here.
All right. We can do that.
We put like a 10-second
shot clock.
10-second shot clock to make your decision.
Works for me.
Okay.
We'll go to the SEC now. We're sticking with Ross. You got Kentucky.
Wait.
You got to flip the page from the SEC now. We did 3 apiece.
Over, under.
Oh, we're only doing 2. Sorry. Yeah, I thought we were doing the whole conference.
3 teams. If we did the whole conference, we'd be here for hours.
I know. Okay.
Special 9-hour episode of Preferred Talk. Kentucky, 8.5 wins.
Under. Just because.
Keith, your favorite quarterback in the SEC, Jake Fromm's Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, my God.
Over, under 11.5.
Over.
Ooh. That means you have him going to the SEC title game?
Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's their year.
Give me Alabama.
No.
No.
No one got Alabama.
Thank God.
Josh, you got Auburn over under 7.5.
Over under 7.5. They open up a neutral field against Oregon.
Talking about Tulane, a tough
Kent
schedule.
State. Yeah, I'm gonna go under. That's a tough schedule.
Really?
What? They could.
Okay. 7-5.
New quarterback. They're gonna Oregon on the road or Oregon neutral at A&M, at Florida, at LSU, Georgia, Alabama. I'm going to go under.
Such a tough schedule. Josh, staying with you. Vanderbilt, 6.5 wins.
Vandy. Is Kumar Rocker going to play linebacker for them?
Undecided as of this moment.
What did you give me? 6.5?
6.5.
I'm going to go under. I didn't really even look at their schedule, but...
They've been at six for the last four years. All right, Keith. We talked about them earlier in the show. Texas A&M. This is a 10.5.
Bill, why'd you give that to me? Yeah, oh, super easy schedule.
Yeah, favorable, yeah. Bill knows what he's talking about.
Have you watched football, Bill?
9, under.
I haven't really watched football. I'm looking forward to it this year. Ross, Missouri, 9.5 wins.
Well, I see one loss week two to Dub V. then they play Southeast Missouri. That's another loss probably. And then Troy. Actually, watch out for Troy. Good coaching lineage there. What was the over-under on that, Bill?
9.5.
9.5? Yeah, right. Under 6 wins if you're lucky, Missouri. Have fun with those 3 tight ends that are probably going to get drafted this year.
All right, Ross, staying with you. Florida, another 9.5.
Wish I could get a 9.5 in the bedroom, Billy. let's see here. Florida, they play a UT Martin?
Yes.
What the hell is that? Is that just a human being? That's just a person they're playing?
New guy that plays there.
Just one person.
9.5. They'll probably beat UT Martin. neutral site versus Georgia. Yikes.
It's always every year. Jacksonville every year.
Yikes. Neutral site. I'm actually going to say under on this, Billy. I'm going to say they might get 8 wins.
Oh, wow. They got 11 last year.
So they have a pretty favorable schedule, too.
Yeah, they do. SEC East is not the best.
No. Watch out for Towson.
Keith, South Carolina, 7.5 wins. Will Muschamp's 4th year.
He's getting pretty warm. I would say, he says 7.5. They play a different team I've never seen before, Florida. Florida. That's a little bit weird, but they will be under at 7.
Josh, you have Arkansas.
Oh,
4.5 wins.
Under.
Oh, that was quick.
I didn't read it, but. Yeah, under.
I'm hearing rumors that Jordan Tom is transferring to Arkansas.
I'm still going under. And why don't you shut the hell up?
All right, that concludes the SEC. Moving on to the Pac-12, the Pacific 12. Josh, your first team, Oregon State Beavers, 1.5 wins.
1.5 win for the Oregon State Beavers. Hold on. Let me see if there's Oklahoma State, Hawaii, Cal Poly. That might be their only win.
That's why I put the over-under at 1.5.
Will they sneak Hawaii?
They beat Colorado last year.
They're not sneaking. It's Hawaii.
No, they're not going. Okay. I said, will they? And then I said, So I'm going to go no. And also, I'm going to say under. They don't play Colorado this year.
Well, there goes their one win.
So Cal Poly's their only win.
Keith, the Fighting Perms, Arizona State, 6.5 wins.
Fuck.
I just got that.
Unless we forget. Their new coach down in Arizona State.
Yeah. 6.5.
Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going to go over.
Still in Ohio.
I'm going to go over.
Ooh.
I still don't like their team, but I think their schedule is pretty favorable.
They were in that neighborhood last year of 6-7.
Yeah.
Ross.
Mm.
Colorado Buffaloes, 5.5 wins with a first-year coach.
Tell you what, I'm not big on the Pac-12. It's up a little late for me, but if there's a team that I couldn't care about less, it's the Colorado Buffaloes. yeah, let's see here. They play capital U, capital C, L, A, capital L, too. Jeez, Bill, way to type this baby out.
UCL.
Hey. What the hell's Boo? B-U-E. Who's that team, Bill?
Oh, shut up, Ross.
All right, sorry, I apologize. I'll get back to business here. I see a couple wins here. What was the over-under again on that, Billy?
5.5.
Oh, under for Colorado. And yeah, I just don't think I've ever even watched a game that they played in. So,
all right.
Moving northwest, Washington State, over under 8.5. Mike Leach has another first year quarterback.
Zach was on this podcast. Easy answer and over.
Yeah.
If I was a Make-A-Wish kid, my Make-A-Wish would be to have dinner with Mike Leach. I just think that'd be a wonderful conversation.
I was really nervous about where you're going to go with that if I were a Make-A-Wish kid.
I just sucked out the seat a little bit, actually.
Did you guys buttholes pucker a little bit there?
A little bit.
All right. I'm a big Washington State fan. I know they lost their running back and their quarterback, so I'm going to actually say the under on this one. It makes me sad. But if anyone can just make a quarterback out of nothing into something, it's Mike Leach. So who knows what will happen.
Keith, for the second time, you have the same state. Arizona, 5.5 wins. We know you how much you love Kevin Sumlin.
And Khalil Tate.
No.
All right, that was easy. Josh?
Yep.
California Golden Bears, 6.5 wins.
Love Cal.
I don't think I know really anything about them.
Know that they play really great defense and absolutely have no idea what to do with the offense.
Well, UC Davis, North Texas.
Check out that cheese.
Oregon State. 6.5, you said?
Yep.
Take the under. Still all taking right. A lot of unders, but I'll take it. Taking that under.
Staying in the Bay Area.
Oh.
Stanford.
Stanford.
Over under 8.5.
Smartest kids in the Pac-12. I'm going to go over.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah. No. I believe in Stanford. What is it? Northwestern at home. USC. They are playing 2017 National Championship Central Florida on the road. So that'll be tough. Oregon State, UCLA, Arizona, Colorado, Washington State, Cal. Yeah, over.
All right.
I'm a little salty. Cal Bears are better than that.
Like I said, I don't know much about the Cal Bears.
Love their defense.
Oregon Ducks, 9.5 wins.
Over.
Keith's a big Duck guy.
Well, they have a great offense this year. I'm pretty excited to see them play, especially in the Pac-12, so I think they'll rock it.
Utah Utes, Ross, over under 9.5 wins. Pac-12 South favorite.
Who's their coach, Billy?
Kyle Whittingham. He's been there for 15 years. Just lost his first bowl game last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And no
Cavs of a Greek god.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If that changes your perception.
Ooh, that does help me. I'm a big man Cavs guy.
Yeah.
I see a couple barn burners here. You say they're the favorites, huh?
In the South, yes.
In the South, in Pac-12, not.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take under. 9 wins, exactly.
Good deal. That wraps up the Pac-12.
Yeah. I mean, just look who else they're playing in the Pac-12 South, though. Like Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, UCLA, USC.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the favorites. They're going to win.
Right. Ross, staying with you. It's your division now.
Yeah.
Big 12.
Starting off with
points.
Texas Tech. Over under 5.5 wins. First year head coach.
Texas Tech. 5.5, you said?
Yeah.
Ooh, let's see. Guns here.
Up.
I think they'll be riding that high from that basketball championship that they didn't win. I'm going to go the under on that. They're just not very good at football this year.
Keith, Baylor Bears, 6.5 wins.
Oh, no.
Third year head coach, Matt Rhule.
I like Matt Rhule. Where'd they go last year?
6-7. Either that, no, 7-6. 7-5. They were right around the 6.5 over under last year. I think they beat Vandy in the bowl game.
I'm going to go over.
All right.
Just because I dated a girl from Baylor, and for her, I'll go over.
Oh, wow. Sharing feelings with Keith.
Yeah, jeez.
Josh, TCU, over under 6.5.
Texas Christian. I'm going to go the over on that. Just going the over.
All right.
I know you're a big TCU guy.
Well, I'm a bigger Oklahoma State guy.
That's right.
Over under 8.5 wins.
I get that one?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Easy over for me.
Yeah.
Because you're such a big fan.
Huge.
Well, they got Oregon State, McNeese, Tulsa, Texas, who is not back, Kansas State, Texas Tech. Over.
My guy.
Give me over on that one.
My guy.
All right. Keith, you got a tough one here. Kansas Jayhawks. Over, under 2.5 wins.
I said they were going to make a bowl game.
So we know Josh is over, under.
Said 2.5?
Yeah.
They're going to squeeze out 3 wins. So I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Barely. I mean, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a very ugly year. But they'll squeeze out 3 wins.
It's Kansas.
They'll go with Indiana State and Coastal Carolina. It's 2 wins right there, please.
Where are they going to squeeze it out of, Keith?
I'm looking week 4 at home,
which is against who? West Virginia.
Yeah.
I should have guessed.
Fuck off, Keith.
All right. Ross, to you. Iowa State Cyclones, over under 7.5 wins.
I mean, I said it. I don't know if y'all listened to the Mountaineer Ross podcast, episode 2. I said Iowa State's probably the best football team in the conference. So I'm going to have to go over on that. Plus, they have some easy wins there, and they are at home against Texas and Oklahoma State. So,
plus, we got a lemon bet on that one, don't we?
We do. If Iowa State loses more than 2 conference games, Josh has to eat a lemon.
Yep.
Yum. All right. Ross, you got another one.
Mm.
Oklahoma, over under 12.5.
Lord. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Billy. Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield are not there anymore, correct?
Correct.
All right. And they have that Hurts guy.
Yep.
Hurts my feelings, if you ask me. I see some tough games. They're on the road against Kansas State, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. You said 12 wins. I'm actually going to take the under on this.
Oh.
And I'm not afraid to say it.
All right.
All right, Keith. West Virginia, over under 5.5.
Take me home, country.
You watch
roads.
Your mouth, Keith. You watch it.
Under.
How far under? Just out of curiosity.
You don't
you
need to be a dick. You don't need to be a dick.
You said 4.5, yeah.
Five and a half.
Yeah.
They'll set up for us.
Okay. Josh.
Under 4, you kidding me?
You've been
4. I'll sit at 4.
You've been normally pretty reserved about Texas, so I want your opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Over under 10.5 wins for Texas.
Please. I'm going to go under. Look, I have to be a man of my word. I said Texas is not back. So if I say over, I'm kind of
that can mean they just
going against my. No.
That can mean they go.
I'm going to stick to my word. Texas is under.
Watch out for that week 3 matchup against Rice.
It's going to be crazy. concludes the Power 5 for this exercise. This is we still have to get to our running backs, so we're going to do Group of 5 next week. Does that work for you?
Yeah, next week. We'll do Group of 5 and then
– And Independence.
Independence and then wide receivers next week, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick break and come back and do running backs.
All right. So we're back going with our top 10 running backs for 2019. Our own personal lists. Looking for some different opinions. So let us start with, since we have a guest today, it'd be rude to not ask him first. So Mountaineer Ross, why don't you lead us off with your top 10 running backs of 2019?
Let me start off by saying I went on Google and just kind of searched it and probably took a total of 8 minutes. So obviously I'm not an expert, not yet. But I'll give you a couple guys that I like. About 10 of them. We're going to start 10. CJ Verdell at Oregon. He's okay at football. I think Oregon, like Keith kind of said earlier in the episode, I think Oregon's going to have a really good year. Obviously, it's going to start with the running and other generic football terms that I can think of later. We're going to go number 9. Travis Etienne. Is that how you pronounce that, Billy?
Josh, you're the pronunciation expert.
Yeah.
Can you
Josh,
help us out
there?
Nope. Etienne is correct.
Oh, really?
Etienne, yeah.
Bless you. he's at Clemson, so I'm sure he'll be good, but they're going to probably throw the ball a lot. So
9?
I have him at nine.
All right. Okay.
I have him at nine. Next, we have Jelly Harris from Alabama. He's at Alabama, so that means he'll probably do good. But there's probably three other running backs that I didn't do research on that are probably also just as good and will end up just doing the amount of carries that he does.
Did you say Jelly Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pronounced Nud Jelly, but I call him Jelly.
Oh, Najee Harris.
Yeah.
That's what I said, Jelly. then we got Ricky Slade, Penn State. He had 6 touchdowns and 45 attempts. And as we know, Saquon has left. Michael Saunders? Outfielder for the Toronto Blue Jays from 2006 to 2011. No, it's not him. Miles Sanders, who left for Philadelphia because he can't leave the state. All right, let's move on. So Ricky Slade will probably have a big year because he'll get a bulk of the carries. Number 6, I have Spencer Brown from UAB. He's a big fella, and UAB is probably going to just give him the ball any chance they get because who else do they have, Billy? Nothing?
Well, I don't know, but Spencer Brown rushed it 272 times last year.
He is a stud and a half. Next, we got Eno Benjamin, Arizona State. Yeah, I'm sure Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis will figure out a way to give him the ball as much as possible because Nikhil Harry Tits is gone, and they can't throw the ball as well, so they're going to have to run it. 4, I got Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma. With Kyler Murray gone, Baker Mayfield gone, Jalen Hurts, I think they're going to find out about week 3 that you can't throw the ball 30 times with Jalen Hurts and win a football game. So they better give the ball to Kennedy Brooks, who had 1,000 yards while just watching Kyler Murray run around the field. So that's pretty impressive. We got – where are we at? 3? 3, I got A.J. Dillon from Boston College. I'm actually a huge A.J. Dillon fan. He is a stud and a half, got hurt last year. He could honestly – get close to the number 1 status if Boston College does what they're supposed to do and just give him the ball every time. So watch out for A.J. Dillon. Then we got the boring top 2, which will probably be almost damn near everybody's. We got J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins is gone. J.K. Dobbins still goes there, right, Billy?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He just scored against Michigan again.
And I'm sure that he'll have a very, very – very, very big year, and I'll probably be the only one that mentions him because he plays for Ohio State. I'm sure no one else has him on the list. So we got him, and then there's 50 feet of dirt, and then there's Jonathan Taylor on top of it. Jonathan Taylor's number 1. Jonathan Taylor's going to get the ball a lot. Jonathan Taylor's going to score a lot of touchdowns. He's obviously number 1. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Josh? Why don't you give us your top 10?
Yeah.
I'll just make a few adjustments.
Naturally.
I'm going to start from the top because that's what I did last time. My number 1 running back is Travis Etienne.
Nope.
Wow.
Seriously, I'm not.
We said it 3 times today alone.
It's not how you pronounce it, Josh.
It's okay. Whoa.
From Clemson.
Yes. Yep. He's number 1.
At least he's still at school.
He's going to score a lot. Okay, yeah.
I heard his mother listens to this podcast. So she's going to be real pissed off.
He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. Clemson's going to score a lot of touchdowns. So that's pretty easy for me. Number 2, Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. That one, you know, off Wisconsin always has a great O-line. Jonathan Taylor's a beast. True freshman quarterback. He's going to get a ton of touches. Jonathan Taylor. And then I got Eno Benjamin as my number 3 guy.
Okay.
Coming in at number 4 is Michael Warren out of Cincinnati. Number 5, I'm putting A.J. Dillon, Boston College. 6, I do have J.K. Dobbins on my list. Put him on there from the Ohio State University.
I hope everybody was sitting down for that.
Dude's explosive. And he's going to get a lot of touches this year, not only rushing. They can use him out of the slot. They can use him really anywhere on offense.
All them rushing yards.
All them rushing yards. Spencer Brown, UAB, number 7. Or was that? Was that number eight? That was number eight, I think.
You have a list in front of you.
Yeah, no, I changed it around. That was number eight.
Should have numbered him, Josh.
That was number eight. Number nine, I got Kayshawn Vaughn, Vandy. Mm-hmm. And then number 10, even though I have him going under 1.5 wins, Jamar and Jefferson.
Okay.
Let's go.
Oregon State.
Oregon on State.
Too many honorable mentions.
Yeah, Joshua Kelly, UCLA.
All right.
Okay. Bill?
Coming as a redshirt senior.
You are a native expert, so let's hear your
speak for yourself. Top 10. Sure. I had a lot of honorable mentions as well, just because there are so many really talented running backs, and a lot, and obviously the offensive system is now dedicated around getting catches from the running back position, so I tried to find a balance of guys that will get catches as well as rushing yards. First things first, my honorable mentions, J.J. Taylor for Arizona, Max Borgi for Washington State. He fills in for James Williams. He had 57 catches last year as the number two running back. So if he had that many, this could be a really good year. Levante Bellamy, Western Michigan. Stevie Scott, Indiana, rushed for 1,200 yards last year. J.K. Dobbins, he's actually an honorable mention for me. Anthony McFarland, Maryland, and then the top four honorable mentions, B.J. Smith from Troy, Juwan Washington, San Diego State, Benny LeMay from Charlotte, and Keyshawn Vaughn from Vandy. So now my top 10. Number 10, Jamar Jefferson, Oregon State. Number 9, Kennedy Brooks, Oklahoma. Number 8, DeAndre Swift from Georgia. Number 7, Patrick Taylor Jr. from Memphis. Number 6, A.J. Dillon from Boston College. Number 5, Spencer Brown from UAB. I'm going to go UAB as UAB from now on. Number 4, Michael Warren from Cincinnati. Number 3, Eno Benjamin, Arizona State. Number 2, Jonathan Taylor. And number 1, Travis Etienne. So I wrestled a lot with who to put number 1.
Yeah.
I just felt it was tough. Jonathan Taylor, he returns with the most attempts in Division 1, the most rushing yards in Division 1, the best yards per game in Division 1. However, the touchdown gap between he and Etienne was too hard to note, too hard to overlook. The way I see it, I think Etienne will score enough more touchdowns to make the point differential be worth it to put him as number one, if that makes sense.
I really do love Patrick Taylor. He was a top 11 running back last year as a number 2.
Right.
Now Darrell Henderson gone. He's going to be the guy.
Last year, he 208 rushes, 1,100 yards, and 16 touchdowns as the number 2 guy.
Yeah.
Which is just insane.
I will say this was probably the hardest group to rank for me. I would say anybody within our top 10s, we have a lot of similarities. We just have ranked them a little bit differently. If you have any of these players, you're going to be pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is tough. So my honorable mentions are Kayshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt, Spencer Brown out of UAB, and
UAB.
Thank you, Bill. Darrington Evans out of App State. Another really good pick that not a lot of people are talking about. So my number 10, Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma. Number 9, CJ Verdell out of Oregon. Number 8, Michael Warren out of Cincinnati. I struggled with this one. I really like what he has and the defense he's going to go up against.
Just not a lot of receptions.
Just the receptions total is not anywhere I would want him to be.
19 rushing touchdowns last year, though.
I know. Jamar Jefferson out of Oregon State, or if you're looking at my sheet, Oregon on State. Number 6, Najee Harris out of Alabama. Number 5, A.J. Dillon out of Boston College. Really like what he has. DeAndre Smith out of Georgia is my number 4.
Swift.
Yep, autocorrect. Thank you. Thanks, Josh.
At least he's still in college.
Number 3, Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin.
Number 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Again, purely passing game. He's gonna get yards. He's going to get touchdowns. Just there's another half of the game that's missing for me. Number 2, as everyone said, Travis Etienne out of Clemson. My number 1 guy, though, is Eno Benjamin out of Arizona State. I really like watching him run. I watched some film with him today. I think he's going to be my number one.
Pac-12 after dark.
Did you have any pants on while watching that film, Keith? You sounded very sexual.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, well.
So I have a question for the group. Okay. What, when you were making this top 10 list, mm-hmm. was there a specific stat that everyone looked at to decide how to rank these? Or
touchdowns.
Just
that's why I went
straight up
that's
rushing
why
touchdowns?
I went Travis E. as my number one guy.
Travis E.
Philly, I kind of try to do what you guys are saying. I mean, the receiving part of college football for running backs is so important. And when you have guys like, you know, Benjamin and, you know, the Etienne from Clemson, those boys are going to catch the ball quite a bit as well. And that's important because that's also going to get you four or five touchdowns in the season as well as their 20 rushing.
That's after he's going to put J.K. Dobbins on my top 10 list. It's receptions.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a particular stat I looked at. I mostly looked at highlight films of each of these guys and just who I liked the most.
And for me, just because I'm not as intimately familiar with the running backs as I am with quarterbacks, I made my top 10 list mostly based off of last year's production as opposed to projecting this year's production.
Yeah.
So that was a tough thing for me as well.
Well, because a lot of these guys, too, some of them are changing systems. Some of them have new code. Like, it just mm-hmm. – it's always a revolving door. So, as we've said before, past performance is no indication of future performance.
Right.
Because also, the one thing that we have to be cognizant of is one of these guys could blow out their knee
yep.
week two and suddenly that goes away.
Go with that with any position, though.
No, right. I know, but that's what I'm saying is, like, we're not prognosticating. Mm-hmm. We're just saying who we like the most.
And then, but the usage is a very serious question. Like, Jonathan Taylor has rushed over 600 times in 2 years. Eno mm-hmm. Benjamin had 300 rushing attempts last year. Like, they're yep. very high usage guys, and they're probably projected to be even more so this year because of what around them left after wow. last year. It's a real possibility, but I don't think that's any reason to not draft somebody.
No. Right.
It's just it's harder to project because running backs see greater injuries than quarterbacks do. Like last year, what was the name of the Oklahoma guy that hurt his knee? Trey Sermon?
The running back?
Yeah.
It was Trey Sermon.
Yeah. You know, he was projected a top 10 guy. And mm-hmm. sucks. Still got drafted, so, you know, I'm glad it ended well for him. But
so do you have any particular rationale for your honorable mentions, Bill? I mean, I know you said you also went heavy receptions, but are there any guys that in there that you said, you know, if they had to be, you know, between 6 and 10, they could easily replace any of these guys yep. on your list?
Specifically for Borgie and Dobbins, it's the receiving ability. And then for the other ones, Keyshawn Vaughn, Benny LeMay, Juwan Washington, and B.J. Smith, it's a combination of the system and the usage. San Diego State has had a 1,000-yard rusher for, like, 6 of the last 7 years. I mean, Denell Pelmfrey set the single-season rushing yards record not long ago. And then, so you can almost – Juwan Washington had 990-some yards last year as the number two guy mm-hmm. and then hurt himself. So just those guys run like crazy. So – that's the big one for me, but, you know, after running back 5 or 6, you can't really
toss
go
up.
Wrong.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a yeah. mixed bag. Yeah. Josh, what about you? Anything you want to say about your honorable mentions? Or
Joshua Kelly. He's coming a redshirt senior, second year in Brian Kelly's offense. Rushed 1,200 yards last year. We'll see what improvements are made in that offense because it really wasn't great last year, despite having Wilton Spate run the offense for a little bit. So we'll see what improvements are made. I think there will be some, you know, Chip Kelly. Did I say Kelly,
yep.
who was the coach of UCLA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they make improvements in that offense. Could really benefit Joshua Kelly as it did when Chip Kelly was at Oregon. Hmm. So we will see how that goes, but that's kind of the reason I put him in there as a 1,200-yard rusher last year and year two in a okay. system this year.
Another note I'd like to make. Puka Williams from Kansas,
mm-hmm.
extremely talented individual, but there are some questions surrounding his eligibility considering his legal trouble he had this past offseason. So as of right now, he's not practicing with Kansas.
Are you shaking your head at that, Ross?
Well, you got to remember, Les Miles is going to get that dude out of it. I mean, Les Miles has got more people out of litigation than any other lawyer I've ever seen in my entire life. So Puka will play. That's a Mountain Near Ross guarantee.
Are you willing to lemon with that?
What is that? When you eat a lemon?
Yeah.
Well,
a slice of a lemon.
A slice of lemon. Oh.
Who's willing to take on that bet with him? I'm already in two lemon bets. I'm not taking on another one.
I'll do it.
I will lemon bet.
Okay.
So,
Mountaineer Ross getting on lemon bets, eh? So, how are we going to determine this? Is if he's if he plays?
If he plays a snap.
Or plays
if
he's a snap.
If he plays a snap, okay.
No, he said plays a snap. So that, that's
plays a snap.
That's the marker he wants to go off of.
So if Puka plays a snap,
mm-hmm.
I eat a lemon?
Yep.
All right.
Seems fair.
Anything else you want to mention, Mountaineer Ross, about the running back position? Anybody else that you're really looking at? Or?
Really, I just want to talk about Puka Williams, so I appreciate Bill bringing that up. Also, A.J. Dillon, Boston College, I think is just, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
And if, talk about watching film with your pants off, because that boy is something else.
A couple other guys I just wanted to mention. I'm surprised that they weren't on anybody's honorable mention list. I just lost him. Zach Moss from Utah. He's probably poised. He only played 9 games last year, but still rushed for almost 1,100 yards and had 11 touchdowns. Reggie Gillespie for NC State. I think I might have joshed myself, though. I'm not sure if he's at school or not, but he had 18 rushing touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
I really hope he is no longer in college.
Are you going to look that up right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you say?
Greg McRae from UCF, only 133 rushes last year, but 1,200 yards. That's an average of 9 yards a carry.
And what year was he?
Greg McRae?
Yeah, last year.
Sophomore.
That was a sophomore year?
Yeah.
Only 133 touches?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who was the guy from NC State that you just said?
Reggie Gillespie, Gillespie, junior.
Come on.
He only averaged 4.7 yards per carry, but 18 touchdowns.
Check his Twitter.
Check his, just, yeah.
Because they had a 2018 roster. That's what happened. NC State football alumni.
All right, that's why he was not on my list.
Woo!
Avoided that one. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to have a player that was not at school anymore on your list?
I don't think you could ever live it down, really.
I'd like to mention one of my honorable mentions, Saquon Barkley, I think is going to have a hell of a year at Penn State.
Do you have any predictions on how he's touchdowns he'll score?
Well, that Big Ten, there's not a lot of defense.
Talk about big legs.
He's a thick boy.
Here's a quick roundtable discussion. If you could bring back one running back from their prime and put them on a team, the same team of this year's system, any thoughts on the top of your head, or should we?
I'll throw Barry Sanders, your first round pick last year,
into this Oklahoma State offense.
I love this Oklahoma State offense.
He'd be a slot wide receiver.
And he probably would be great at it.
You can't put Barry Sanders in an air raid. He'd probably still be
amazing.
Hey,
guys, miss.
Gosh.
See, outside of Michigan players, I don't think I know other systems that well enough.
That could be a good question for next week.
Good one to think of.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's table that for now. I like that question, though.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bill.
All right.
You know, we're on this podcast to pump each other up.
That's right.
Literally, that's all we do. We just listen to it, and we're the only listeners who say we did a good job.
Ross?
I'm kidding.
On that uplifting note.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks a lot for coming on the show today, Ross.
Well, it's my last
days to college football.
My last episode, guys. I really appreciate it. No, I'm kidding.
Not true.
Oh, good. Jesus. I'm coming back.
We'll see you
at some point.
Fuck. All right. Well, if there's nothing else anybody wants to discuss, thank you for listening to us today. And we will see you next week.